Hey everyone, all right, now it is time for us to go into the Word of God. And so I'm going to pray in just a moment. We are going to be continuing this week our series or our study in the book of James. We've been off for a couple weeks with Healing School Sunday, and then obviously the amazing Mother's Day focus we had last week. Thank God for moms. I just want to say again, moms, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. But this week we're going to continue as we discussed in our study of the book of James. And so we're going to continue. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into James chapter 3. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the honor and the opportunity I have once again to teach your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is living, it's active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, it is able to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Father, that your word is life. And I thank you today in the name of Jesus for the life that is in your word, the life that you are going to bring to each one of us. And I pray for every person listening to this webcast, Father, that they're not going to hear what I say as much as what they hear that you are saying to them through what I say. And so we thank you for all this in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles today, whether you have the old school paper Bible, whether you've got it on your phone or your device, I want you to go with me to James chapter 3, because we are continuing our study in the book of James. And as you know, if you've been following along with us for this some time, we've already worked through James 1 and James 2. A little bit of context again, James was a brother of Jesus. And so he didn't obviously believe in Jesus before he died and rose again, because we see clearly in the scriptures that his family did not. But somewhere along the journey or after the fact, he did come to believe in Jesus, and he came to faith in Jesus. And he wrote this book of James actually to Jewish believers who were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And it's interesting, and I've said this at each introduction to this message, he was writing to believers who were going through a very challenging time. He was writing to believers who were going through persecution. He was writing to believers who were suffering because of their faith. And so while our context is different, and I think it's probably fair to say that we are not going through as much suffering as these believers were going through, we are still facing our battles. We are still facing our challenges right now. And so the words from James speak so true. I mean, they speak truly across the generations, but I think they will ring so truly for us today if we listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so let's jump right into James chapter 3. That's going to be our focus today. And we're just, as we've been doing, walk through it verse by verse and talk and teach from that. And so let's start in James 3 verse 1. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Now let me just pause right there as we get started this teaching. This is a very serious verse that James starts with in James chapter 3. And I think it's important for us to always remember, number one, the honor it is to teach or share or communicate the word of God to others, and the holy awe, the reverence we need to have for it. I'd said here in my notes that we need to take it seriously, because James actually said those who teach the word of God will actually be judged with a greater strictness. In other words, when we step forward to teach, when we step forward to share the word of God, there is an expectation that God has on us, that we are going to be living it, that we are actually walking this thing out. He takes it very seriously. Now, some people might hear this verse and go, well, I don't ever want to teach the word of God then, because I don't want to come under stricter judgment. Here's the problem with that train of thought. If you're disobeying God when he's telling you to teach the word of God, you're going to come under judgment for that anyways. But the key I think I really want us to hear, just as we're working through this, is the honor and the reverence we need to have for the word of God, for the integrity of the word of God, and the intentionality we need to make about, you know, getting it right, about teaching. Now, obviously, none of us know everything about the Word of God. All of us will make mistakes. We're all learning and growing. I think more than anything, God is really looking at our hearts. And part of the challenge today is there's many people that haven't taken time to get to know their Word, who have not invested seriously in the Word, who are not regularly investing and just having this reverence when they're bringing and teaching the Word of God. I know this challenges me whenever I read it, because obviously I'm teaching the Word of God all the time. And it's very easy to kind of start to lean on the arm of the flesh or just to, oh yeah, I know how to share this, so I'm just going to do it again. No, there has to be a holy reverence and an awe, recognizing that, hey, I am even going to be judged on an even stricter level. How seriously are we taking the Word of God? I want to ask you today, how seriously are you taking the Word of God? Yes, God loves us. Yes, there's grace. Yes, there's forgiveness. But there is also a call from God to say, hey, take my word very seriously. And take it seriously when you communicate my word to others. Let's keep reading here. Verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set afire or set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of righteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, of sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh fruit. Fresh water. Now let's stop here for a few moments. I've led a longer portion of the passage here, but I want to really pull several different truths of it. And really the main thing I want to focus on here is on the power of our words. James is talking and he's instructing those who are reading his letter in this passage about the power of their words, about the importance of the words, about the power and the importance of the things that you and I are speaking. And I think this is particularly pertinent in the day and age we are in right now. Now, obviously, this applies in any day and age we live in. This is an important spiritual principle for us to understand at any time that we are walking and living, you know, in this life. But I think especially in this day, in this age, in this season, where there's so much pressure, there's challenges, there's uncertainty, there's things that we don't know about the future, that we are guarding our words, we are guarding our mouth, that we are very conscious about the things we are speaking. Family, I want you to know today, your words and my words really do matter. Your words and my words really do make a difference. You know, in Proverbs 18:21, it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want you to just reflect with me on this for a moment or two here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, the Bible is telling us that through our words, we have an opportunity to release death, or through our words, we have an opportunity to release life. What have you been releasing through your words, even over this time and over this season? What have you been speaking over yourself? What have you been speaking over your family? What have you been speaking over your finances and over your provision? What have you been speaking over your health? What have you been speaking over our government leaders? What have you been speaking just over the season and the situation we're in? Why? Because the Bible says our words matter. The Bible says that there is life or there is death in the power of our tongue. What have you been speaking? I remember hearing a preacher who I've learned much from over the years named Jerry Seville, and he talked about an interaction he had with another minister who impacted his life, Kenneth Copeland. Many of you are familiar with these two speakers. And he talked about an interaction they had when he was very young as a Christian. And Jerry Seville was trying to understand why things were not working in his life and why things were not going the right. He had an opportunity to dialogue with Kenneth Copeland, who was preaching at his church. He said, Kenneth Copeland looked at him. He pointed his finger in his face and he said, you know what your problem is, Jerry? He said, your problem is your big mouth. That is your problem. And Jerry said in the moment, he said he was so offended. How could he say this to me? How dare he say my problem is my big mouth? How dare he say things? And as the story goes on, though, the Holy Spirit really used those words to start to speak to him about the things that he was speaking, the negativity, the doubt and unbelief that he was speaking over his life. And it was a moment of real revelation for him. He actually shared, if I remember the story correctly, he was so mad that he went home and he had been listening to teaching tapes that Brother Copeland had put together, except in those days it was like the old 8-track reel, which I don't even remember. I do remember teaching tapes. Shout out to all you who remember teaching tapes with me. He was so mad, he went and he just threw it down the street. And it was literally just rolling down the street. And he said, and then in his heart, he heard the Holy Spirit say so clearly to him, your answer is rolling down the street right now. And so he said he ran back down and grabbed the tapes and went back and put them back in. The point I was saying in this is many of us don't understand how much problems we're creating for ourselves because of our words and because of what we're saying. If you look in this passage and what James speaks about, it's interesting. First, he compares our words or our tongue, the words we speak, to a bridle. Now, I don't know if you've ever ridden horses. I've had the opportunity to ride horses once or twice in my life, maybe 4 or 5 times. It's never something I got into very much. It's not something I'm particularly excited about. I don't have anything against riding horses for all of you horse lovers and riding horse lovers out there. It just never really got my fancy too much. I think horses are beautiful animals, but just the idea of getting on the back of a horse and riding never really appealed to me. I do remember a number of years ago when I was a teenager, I visited my aunt and uncle who lived in Summerland, which was in the kind of near Kelowna, Ontario, British Columbia, and they rode horses. And so Uncle Wayne took me out to ride some horses. And we went out riding horses. And if you know that area, it's mountains. So we're talking like climbs and cliffs. And I remember I must have prayed through most of that ride because I'm on this horse. I'm not sure I'm going to stay on. And Uncle Wayne ended up laughing at me because he's like, you're so tense. What's wrong with you? And I'm just like, listen, it's just not my cup of tea, right? But one of the things in riding the horses is there's a bridle that is put in their mouth. And that's actually the way you steer or guide the horse. If you want to go right, what you do is you pull the reins right, and the horses, and what it does is it actually, the reins are attached to a bridle, which is what James is talking about, in their mouth, and when you pull, it puts pressure, and it tells the horse, go this direction. And if you pull left, it tells the horse, go this direction. If you pull back on both, it tells the horse, time to stop, right? And so what James is trying to illustrate here is he's saying a small little bridle is a way that you will steer an entire horse. And he's saying in the same way, the words you speak are going to steer your life. They're small. It may not seem like a big deal, right? Because there'll be people listening to me going, come on, pastor, is it really that big of a deal what you say? Does it really matter what words I'm speaking? Well, James seemed to think it was. He was Jesus' brother, so this would have been something that would have been very, something would have been very real for him, but he seemed to think it was a big deal, and I believe, because when we look throughout the scriptures, it's because it is a big deal, right? The other picture he gives here, which again falls into this, is our word are not only like a bridle in our mouth, but our words are also like a rudder on a ship. Now, I don't know if you've ever been boating. I grew up going to my grandparents' cottage, and so we would boat quite regularly. And nowadays, they have boating licenses, and I don't think you're allowed to drive a boat till you're 16. But back when I was a kid, they didn't have any of that. And so I was 10, 11, 12 years old, driving that boat all around the lake, you know, and you learn. It was interesting because it's a little counterintuitive, especially if you have a little outboard motor, because if you want to go that direction, you actually push the motor this way. And if you want to go this direction, you actually pull the motor this way, and you'd kind of back and forth. But again, it was this motor that would steer the entire boat. And what I would want to do is if I wanted to go that direction, let's say that way, I would turn the motor this way, and I had to keep it in that place while the boat began to turn. The boat wouldn't turn immediately. It would start to turn. I think this is a beautiful picture about the words of our mouth. James says they're like a bridle. James says they're like a rudder. So here's my question. Where are your words steering you? Where are your words steering your family? Where are your words steering your situation right now? Again, many people might listen to this and go, oh, come on, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't really matter. Well, no, the Word of God says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And what happens is many people don't think it's that big of a deal because I'll say something, it doesn't automatically happen, right? And that's the way some people kind of will. But again, remember with the boat, if I start to turn, it still takes a while for the ship to turn. What if our words, we're not talking about immediate change right away, but what if the things I'm saying over the days, over the weeks, over the months are actually steering my life into a certain direction? What words are coming out of your mouth? What are you speaking? What are you saying? Even in these times, are you speaking that God is with you? Are you speaking that He meets all of your needs according to your riches and glory? Are you speaking that He is just, His peace is with you? Are you speaking that, hey, I'm not forgotten, I'm not alone, He is with me, His presence is with you? Are you speaking those guys? Is that where you're steering your life in this time? Or are you speaking doubt and unbelief? Are you speaking fear? Are you speaking, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to get through this. Why? Because if that's what you're saying, that's where you're going. And here's the other side. One of the things you didn't want to do is in the boat, you're going left, then you're going right, then you're going left, then you're going right. You know what would happen? You just end up kind of going all over the place and never really getting anywhere we want to go. And that's what happens for many of us as Christians. One day, we'll be saying the word of God. We'll be speaking faith. We'll be speaking peace. We'll be speaking, you know, confidence in God. And then the next day, because our emotions have changed, or maybe, you know, something came in that put pressure, we're speaking doubt. We're speaking unbelief. We're speaking, you know, lack. And so what happens is we just go back and forth and jerk all over the place, but we still never get where we want to go. I want to encourage you out of this exhortation from James. Where are your words steering your life right now? Even ask the Lord to remind you or show you what have been the things you've been speaking. Speak where God is taking you. Speak where He's calling you to go. Right? Turn the rudder of your ship in that direction and make a commitment that I am not going to allow any, as one verse says, unwholesome talk to come out of my mouth. I'm not going to allow doubt and unbelief to come out of my mouth. Yes, there may be times I feel it. Yes, there may be times I struggle with it. There's nothing wrong with confiding in someone or going to the Lord in prayer and saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling, but this is what God is saying, and that we would speak the word of God. Amen. Someone tell your neighbor, tell someone sitting nearby you. If you're all by yourself, just yell at the ceiling, I am going to speak the word of God. Tell them, speak the word. That's what he says. It's interesting too, because we also see in this passage that James talks about that he compares it to a forest fire. And he compares our words to like a small spark that can start a fire. And obviously the connotation of this passage, it is leading into the negative things that can happen from our words. And it's good that we're aware of that. But I also want to remind you that the same tongue that speaks negativity and unbelief and can start a negative fire is the same tongue that can speak and declare the goodness and the word of God and start an amazing fire. You just need to make a decision. What kind of fire am I going to start? Let's keep reading here. If we go into verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and wisdom. And so it's interesting because a couple of the common themes in the book of James that we've looked at already are starting to spring up here again. You have to remember, we put chapter and verse in there, the translators did. James would have just written this as one letter. He didn't put chapters and verses in himself. So he continues to come back to this theme, which I think are so key in this season, which is talking about, number one, seeking God for wisdom. So I just want to jump back on that soapbox for a moment today with you. There are people out here listening to me right now. You're watching this right now. I'm talking to you, and you need wisdom. You need wisdom, and that's what you need to be praying for. You're sitting here listening to me. You're going, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I want to encourage you in the middle of that. There is wisdom from the Father for you. Let's go back to James 1, where he said, ask me for wisdom. I'm going to give it to you. And so wisdom is a key theme. And that we would be wise and understand. But we also see, it's almost like a recap. He's talking about chapter 1, about wisdom. Chapter 2 is talking about making sure our works are aligning up with our faith. And so we talked about that several weeks ago when we were talking, when we were in this chapter. But let's show our works. In this season, let's ask God for wisdom. And in this season, let's look for ways to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. How can we serve people? How can we love people? How can we really live out our faith. You know, at the time of this message, who knows exactly what is going to be going on around us, right? Who knows exactly what timelines or what deadlines have been set? But here's what I do want to promise you, that there is going to be a time where we're going to come off where we no longer have to be at home as much anymore. We're going to have opportunities where they're going to start to lighten restrictions. They're going to start lighten different things. And this is the time where still many people will hold back in fear. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise. I'm not saying we shouldn't be cautious. But what I am saying in the middle of that, will we be people who step up with good works? Will we be people who step forward? Christians throughout history have always been people who have stepped forward even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Why? Because our faith is in God. Why? Because our hope is in something bigger than just this life right now. And so let's continue to move forward in that. Verse 14 says this, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." You know, as I was preparing my notes for this, I was really reflecting on these three enemies that James talks about that undercut and hold back so many Christians. And there are three enemies that we don't talk about as much. There are three enemies that maybe we don't hear about as much. And there are three enemies or three areas of sin that I have found in my life and just in pastoring many people can tend to get under the radar and can still be there in our lives. What are these three enemies? Number one, bitterness or unforgiveness. Number two, jealousy. And number three, selfish ambition. Let's talk about these three enemies for just a few moments. First and foremost, bitterness or unforgiveness. I think that this is something that many of us, we'd have at least some context of teaching what the Bible says about this. But bitterness or unforgiveness, guys, is a killer. It is a killer. James is very clear about this, that we need to get it out of our lives. But for many Christians, I found that bitterness or unforgiveness seems to be, maybe you could say, an acceptable sin. It's a sin that we're like, well, you know, like, okay, I'll stop this and I'll get this out of my life and that's really wrong. But, you know, I'm going to hold on to this bitterness or unforgiveness. Guys, I want to encourage you, make sure that your heart is clean. Make sure even in this season, ask God, God, show me where there's any bitterness or unforgiveness in my life so we can get out. Don't make a place for bitterness or unforgiveness because it's going to hurt you. It is going to undercut what God's doing in your life. Furthermore, there's the second one, which is jealousy. When was the last time you heard a sermon preached on jealousy? I don't remember it too much myself either. Now, perhaps I've been a little guilty of that myself, but we are talking about right here and right now. What is jealousy? Well, jealousy is feeling resentment against someone because of that person's success or advantages. It's characterized by a proceeding from suspicious fears or an envious resentment. That's what dictionary.com said. And I just want to encourage you, let's ask God to show us in this season, Lord, show me an area of bitterness or unforgiveness, because life's too short, guys. There's just too much that God's called us to do to tolerate bitterness and unforgiveness. But let's also ask God to show us jealousy. I thought about this myself, even as I was getting ready to share this with you. And I have asking the Lord to show me any area of jealousy in my life. Jealousy is very insidious because it can show up and pop up in all kinds of different ways. And often it is covered up so it looks like something else. But I want to encourage you, get jealousy out of your life. See, when we are in a place of jealousy, we are not going to be content in what God has called us to do, who God has called us to be, or what God's called us to walk out to. Jealousy leads us into coveting, where we want what others have instead of being thankful for what God has given us. And so I want to encourage you, let God show you. You know, are you jealous against another believer? Are you jealous against someone else because things happen? Often, again, it's covered up, right? It often matters as suspicion. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I really work hard in my life to guard against jealousy towards other churches, jealousy towards other ministries. I wish I could say to you that I never struggle with jealousy, but sometimes I do. Now, I work very hard to take that back to the cross and just refuse to go down that road. But the tendency is there. And the crazy thing is we often covered up in spiritual reasons, spiritual excuses. Sometimes there's another church that's really having an amazing season of God, and your jealousy comes and you start saying, well, I just don't think they disciple people the way they need to, or I just don't think they do this, or I just think all they care about is the numbers, or that pastor, his clothes, he's trying to be too cool, or they use too much lights, or they don't do this, or they don't do that. And all this criticism comes in, and really it's just to cover up for jealousy. Right? So let's get jealousy out of our life. And the third one that James talks about here is selfish ambition. Now, you'll remember at the beginning of this year, the start of 2020, we talked about holy ambition and that God was calling us to be people who are going to have a holy ambition, a desire and a passion to do great things for Him and to do great things for His kingdom. And I really want to encourage you to renew that, to kind of let's re-spark that focus about holy ambition and just going for the things of God. But in the middle of it all, let's make sure we're also searching our hearts for selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is where I want my name to be known. I want to do something great for me. I want to. See, notice what it centers around? I. It centers around me. And see, when that is there, it's interesting because there's so many guys, so many of us as Christians, and I really encourage you, search your heart today. There is bitterness in there. There is jealousy in there. There is selfish ambition because all these things can be covered up in spiritual sounding phrases and they can be covered up with spirituality, but it takes the Holy Spirit pulling back the curtains, and saying, no, look, you're jealous. Or no, this is selfish ambition. This is not seeking first the kingdom. And so I want to encourage you, again, not throwing stones at anyone. If I point a finger, there's three pointing back at me that all of us would search our hearts in these areas. Because the last part I want you to see is James said this, and this is a very serious statement. He says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Think about that, where he said, where there's jealousy, where there's selfish ambition, what happens is these things get in our hearts. We cover them up with spirituality. But sooner or later, it ends up leading to chaos. It ends up leading to sin. Guys, I really want to challenge you. There's been many people who've been taken off the tracks. They've been taken off the mark because they never dealt with bitterness. They never dealt with jealousy. They never dealt with selfish ambition in their life. May we all seek God in a fresh way and ask Holy Spirit to show each of us if these things are in our heart. And just pray and say, God, help us, God. Let me just pray into that right now for a moment, actually. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray. Your word is speaking to us today about getting jealousy, getting bitterness, getting selfish ambition out of our lives. God, I pray for each one of us, myself included, that you show us any area of our hearts where these things are lurking so that we can repent and we can get them out of our lives in Jesus' name. All right, one more verse, and we're going to bring this to a close. A couple more verses here, but it says this. But the wisdom from above. So again, it was talking about earthly wisdom. It's talking about these other things, but James finishes the chapter with this. But the wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is open to reason. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This verse is probably one of the verses that stands out most in my mind, and it's because my father, and if you know my dad, what's up, Dad? I know you're watching right now, but if you know my dad, he will take a verse, and he will just stay on that verse for months, and he'll bring it up every chance he gets. We actually had a running bet with a bunch of us who were in leadership team for a season where my dad had his verse in Proverbs during that season. And every time he'd start sharing, we'd all have like this little knowing glance. Oh, the verse is, he's going to find a way to bring this verse up. One way or another, he is going to bring this verse up. But I love that heritage because that's actually what meditation in the scriptures is. You stay on it. And so he would stay on this verse with me and say, son, what's the wisdom of God? What does the wisdom of God look like? And remember, he'd always go to the Amplified Translation, which I'll read to you. He says, but the wisdom from above is pure. It is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It's willing to yield to reason. It's full of compassion and group fruits. It's wholehearted. It's straightforward. And it's sincere. Those three words had burned in my memory. That when God's in something, when you're doing something God's way, that's really what it's talking about. Like doing things God's way. right? Doing things God's way, walking. It's going to be wholehearted. You're going to be straightforward. You are going to be sincere. There's no time for hypocrisy. There's no time for manipulation or playing word games with people. When you're into the wisdom of God, you're wholehearted, you're straightforward, you're sincere. There's a purity. There's a desire for peace. You're courteous. You're gentle. You know, gentleness is one of the most amazing characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And it's actually one of the fruit of the Spirit that will manifest in our lives. Gentleness gets a bad rap sometimes, but gentleness is one person put it this way, I love it. Gentleness is like strength under control. In other words, when I'm gentle, it's like I have strength, but I'm choosing to use it in a measured way. And I'm using it to serve others. The gentleness of God is an incredible part of his characteristic that many of us need to grow in and understand and walk in more in our ways. There's something so beautiful about the gentleness of our Heavenly Father and the gentleness he's called. But see, we're talking about wisdom. It's gentle. It's willing to yield to reason. You know, are you willing to yield to reason today? Am I willing to yield to reason? Or it's always got to be my way or the highway? Am I just like, well, I just don't care. This is how I see it. And this is how it is. That's not the wisdom of God. Right? The wisdom of God stands with the truth, but the wisdom of God is willing to yield to reason. It's full of compassion and good fruits. And again, I just these words, I want to encourage you. God wants us to live a life where we're wholehearted, we're straightforward, we're sincere. Amen? Amen. So an amazing, I mean, there was so much that we covered in James chapter 3. And I want to encourage you, take some time, go read over it yourself, start your own study. Part of why I love doing teaching this way, the way we've been doing the book of James, is hopefully it helps, even through osmosis, for you to see how you can work through a chapter in the scriptures and you can start taking it apart verse by verse and you can draw life from it. You can learn from it and you can see what God is speaking to us. And so just again, an encouragement, a reminder, let's take the word of God seriously. Let's guard the words of our mouth. Let's remember the power of what we are speaking in this season. Let's continue to press forward into wisdom. Let's be ready to show forth good works in whatever we can. Let's ask God to show us and to get rid of all bitterness, jealousy, and selfish ambition from our lives. And let's dive into wisdom, the wisdom of God that's pure, undefiled, peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, willing to yield to reason, full of compassion, full of good fruits, wholehearted, straightforward, impartial, unfeigned, free from doubt, wavering, and insincerity. Again, love the Amplified Translation. It brings so much more to it. Let's push forward into that together. Amen? All right, let me pray for you. And we're going to bring things to a close. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all that we've been able to dive into in your word today. Lord, I thank you for what you're speaking to us, even as we hear these words from James. And even though written 2,000 years ago, they are still speaking to us now because this is your word. And I pray for everyone listening to this message. Father, I pray that you will speak to us about the power of our words in a fresh way. That you'll speak to us about what are we saying, what are we speaking in this time, in this season. God, I pray that you will reveal to us, God, any area of bitterness, jealousy, God, selfish ambition in our hearts, that we will get that out of our lives. And I thank you for a fresh release of wisdom. Come on, just wherever you are, raise your hands. I'm just going to pray a prayer of impartation. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for a release of wisdom. Wisdom for every person, God. We're going deeper in wisdom, and we're going deeper in walking in your wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of heaven, in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right. Well, as always, it's been a huge honor to be together with you. I am so looking forward to when we can get back face to face. But in the meantime, I'm still thankful that we get connected in this way. Before I go, I do want to say one more thing. I just want to look right in this camera and I want to ask if there's anyone listening to me right now and you are not right with God. Because I want you to be right with him today. The Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Because of sin, all of us, myself included, deserve punishment. We deserved eternal punishment. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Because of God's great love, the Bible says he sent his only begotten son that whoever believed in him would not perish or be punished, but would have eternal life. And that free gift of salvation is there for you today. And so I want to ask you, if you're listening to this, whether it's live, whether it's on the video, you know, afterwards, are you right with God? Would you, if you're not right with God today, would you let today be the day that you come to Jesus? Maybe you're watching this and you used to follow Jesus, but you've gone in your own direction. Today is your day to come back. Guys, come on, look at the world around us right now. We need Him. It is not a time to play Russian roulette with your soul. It is not a time to play Russian roulette with your eternal destiny. It is a time to make sure you are right with God. And so if you're listening to me, this is you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to invite everyone else to pray along. And let's just agree together. And as you pray this prayer with a heart of faith, God will hear you and God will answer. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died, you rose again for me. Today, I turn my back on sin and I give my life to you. I declare with my mouth that you are my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. There's a link coming up right now. Please click on that link. Please let us know you prayed this prayer. We want to journey with you. We want to just help you and support you. We're not going to try and get all up in your business or all up in your mix, but we just want to be here to help you. So let us know that you prayed this prayer. We'd be so honored and so glad to do that. Amen? All right, everyone. Well, it's been great to be together. Again, I look forward to seeing you next week. I'm definitely looking forward to when we can all be back together again. But until then, we're going to keep working this thing. We're going to get through this together. God is with us, and we're going to be stronger, more united, more deeper in our walks with God, more connected as spiritual community in the name of Jesus. Amen.